Okay, my name is Darby Kellum, and I'm going to be presenting on greenhouse gas emissions from irrigated pecan orchards in southern New Mexico. So first I'm going to tell you a little bit about nitrous oxide. It is a greenhouse gas. It is 300 times more effective at causing an immediate effect in global warming than CO2. It plays a role in ozone destruction due to its conversion to NO, which then catalytically destroys ozone. It is increasing in the atmosphere. Studies have shown that 78% of increases in nitrous oxide are accounted for by agricultural management practices. It is produced in the soil microbially through nitrification and denitrification. Denitrification is an anaerobic process, and nitrification is aerobic. Studies have shown that several factors affect nitrous oxide emissions. Several of these factors are moisture content, texture, temperature, and management practices such as tillage and fertilization. Congress has recently started looking into causing nitrous oxide to be regulated for a possible short-term mitigation of global warming. The importance of this study is the lack of information in southern United States on greenhouse gas emissions. This study will provide information in relation to arid regions, flood irrigation, and fertilization. This is important due to this region's drastic moisture content fluctuations. And the hypothesis of this study is that nitrous oxide emissions are a direct function of moisture content. So this study was conducted on two experimental sites. The first site we named La Mancha. It is a pecan orchard. It is flood irrigated, and the texture of the site is sandy loam. And as you can see from this graphic, that's the location of the field in Las Cruces, New Mexico. The second site is Leindecker, and it is also a pecan orchard. It is also flood irrigated, however, the texture is different. It is a silty clay loam, and this graphic is the location of the field also in Las Cruces, New Mexico. So the study was conducted September 1st, 2010 through September 4th, 2011, so that's just slightly over a year. The technique used was the small static chamber technique, and it was based on Mosher's review. So as you can see in this graphic, those are the chambers, the static chambers. The chambers consist of two parts, an anchor and a chamber. The anchor is installed for as long as possible, as long as the farmer allows us to have it in there. And then the chamber is installed every day that we go to the field, and it's left in place for 1 hour. Gas samples are withdrawn out of the septobutyl stopper at 0, 30, and 60 minutes. Samples are then stored in evacuated containers from Labco and then mailed to UC Davis and analyzed on a GC in the viticulture lab there. The flux is then calculated using that bottom equation. So this graphic shows one of the fields. This is La Mancha, and there are four replicates at each field. So as you can see, two of the replicates are near a barrier in the pecan orchard, and two of the replicates are near an experimental tower that we have in that field. This is a graphic of our Leindecker experimental site. Once again, two of our replicates are near a barrier, and two of our replicates are near an experimental tower that we have in that field as well. So this is our nitrous oxide emissions from La Mancha. We had one irrigation cycle at the first half of the graph. The peak is incredibly small. It's very hard to see. And then we had the winter period, which we had no irrigation and pretty much a baseline. And then we had an irrigation with a fertilization, an irrigation, and an irrigation with a fertilization. So we had a total of 4 irrigation events for the second half of that graph. And as you can see, the 2 peaks with the highest emissions correspond with fertilization events along with an irrigation. So this is that same graph with moisture content and nitrate, soil nitrate, overlaid. So it's a little bit hard to see because everything's kind of jumbled, but as you can see where that first, right here, where that first large peak was, it corresponds with a peak in nitrate and a peak in moisture content. And then here is our second irrigation. And then here is our third irrigation along with our second fertilization. And then we had our fourth irrigation with no fertilization. So we also analyzed for CH4 and CO2. It fluctuates, both CO4 and CO2. However, it doesn't seem to have much of a specific pattern. So we didn't really draw much conclusions from the CO4 and the CO2. And there's very low organic matter in Las Cruces, New Mexico. So this is the nitrous oxide emissions from our second experimental site, Leyendecker. So we had 1 irrigation event last season, which is the first half of the graph. And as you can see right here, that peak corresponds to that irrigation event. And then as we go through the winter, we had a fertilization event along with an irrigation and 2 more irrigation events. So here we have our last irrigation. Here we, right here is where we had our fertilization and our irrigation, and right here is where we had our middle irrigation event. So this is our same graph overlaid with the moisture content and the nitrate. So as you can see, once again, we have the peaks corresponding to our irrigation events. Here being our first peak of last season. Here our first peak of this season, our second peak of this season, and our third peak of this season. So we also analyzed methane and CO2 for our Leyendecker experimental site, and our results were similar to that at La Mancha. It does fluctuate, however, there was no clear pattern. We also conducted bench experiments in the lab on soil cores. So we conducted an experiment of greenhouse gas emissions with the cores at saturation, with the cores at filled capacity, and with the cores at saturation with a fertilization application, the same rate as is applied in the field. So the black bars represent the saturation with the fertilization application. These dark blue bars represent saturation, and these light blue bars represent at filled capacity. So as you can see, the black bars are drastically higher than the other bars. So the conclusions that we drew were that nitrous oxide was increased with irrigation as well with fertilization events. This seems to be due to enhanced denitrification, since denitrification is an anaerobic event. We also showed that methane fluctuated but did not show a clear pattern, as well as carbon dioxide fluctuated but did not show a clear pattern. So I would like to thank some people while I'm up here. First of all, I'd like to thank my funding sources, which are the first 3. I'd also like to thank Dr. Shukla, my advisor, for guiding me through this process, Sanjeet Deb, who helped me finish up my field work, and Parmod and Lester, who helped me with my nitrate analysis on my soil. And these are the references that I referenced in the presentation. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you, Darby. Thank you. We have time for some questions. I was wondering, Darby, if you have the methane, is it possible to disconnect the fertilization from the irrigation to reduce the, not the methane, to reduce the nitrous oxide?
Yes, and if you look back at the La Mancha, that's Leindecker. La Mancha is the one that looks. There was an irrigation event right here, and there was an irrigation event right here, as well as right here, that did not have fertilizations. So these two highest peaks are the ones that correspond to the fertilization and the irrigation together.
Is that because the nitrate is freshly applied to the soil? Can you leave the nitrate on? In a moist soil that would have reactions, but the soil wouldn't be wet enough to have the nitrous oxide?
I'm not sure about that, but that would be something to look into, or maybe like a slow release fertilizer.
Would they be irrigating with something like urine, where they're injecting it into the irrigation water?
They irrigated with urea, which is just a pellet applied on the top.
So that's where the source, they're together, so that makes it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.